special music. Thank you, Nancy, for children's story, and Michael for incredible scripture reading. Thank you very much. Elder Wilson, thank you for being here at Fallbrook. A privilege. Let us sing, Jesus, Your Name is Power.
Jesus, Your name is power. Jesus, Your name is mine. Jesus, Your name will break every stronghold.
Jesus, Your name
is. How is it with your soul today? Is it well? Thank you, Art and Karen, for that beautiful special music. We just sang that hymn on Wednesday at the General Conference Auditorium in the afternoon. We had a memorial service for my father. He died December 14. We had an immediate burial 2 days later, very small, family-oriented burial amidst the falling snow. It was very meaningful. But then we had a memorial service on Wednesday, and we sang that beautiful hymn. My father played the trombone, not at the service on Wednesday. But I want to tell you, by God's grace and because of eternal life through Jesus, He will play the trombone again. Amen. What a privilege to be a Seventh-day Adventist in this day and age. What a privilege to be part of a mighty movement that God has called not just to keep the truth to ourselves, but to tell the world. And you do it in many different ways. Through your music. You even had a little orchestra. Art, you had a flautist or a flutist here. And also the keyboard through singing. Harold even caught me behind the church here and gave me a copy of the men's chorus. His voice, men's chorus. The Lord's doing great things in the Fallbrook Church. I slipped around the back to kind of look at your clock tower, because I recognized it said something about prayer when I came in, and I wanted to know what it actually was. And before I was able to get to the clock tower, Calvin cornered me, and he said, "Let me have prayer with you." And we prayed out there. Thank you, Calvin. And when I looked up at that clock tower, and he told me already what it was before I got there, prayer changes things. Praise God. Thank you. You have a very efficient young deacon corps here. I'm impressed. You know, the young men are taking up the offering, and the little kids are going around collecting offering. Praise God for that. Prayer changes things. You know, Sister Betsy, you've honored me by calling me President Wilson and all of that kind of thing. I'm just Ted. I'm just a fellow sinner at the foot of the cross like you. It is a privilege to be here today. The reason that we're here, well, your good member, Dan Houghton, kept trying to get us here sometime, but we are on a trip to the South Pacific. I mentioned earlier during Sabbath school announcements that we are going to a number of countries with the Pages. And I'm so delighted that Jerry and Janet Page are working with us at the General Conference, being able to inspire people throughout this world with the wonderful example that prayer does change things, and many other things that they are doing with revival and reformation, calling upon each of us to submit ourselves to Jesus humbly, because Jesus is coming soon. Why should we wait any longer? We're told that the Lord is waiting to pour out the latter rain upon his people. Why not now? But we are on a trip to the South Pacific. South Pacific is a very challenging and interesting place. It has many different countries. We have many members in that area. And yet there are some countries, such as Australia, New Zealand, which are extremely secular, as many countries are becoming today. It is getting harder and harder to reach people who are materialistic, who are secular, who have everything given to them. Nancy and I were just two Sabbaths ago in Sweden. And if there's any country in the world that takes care of you from the cradle to the grave, it is Sweden. It's a difficult place. We only have about 2,500, 3,000 church members in Sweden. Pray for the people in Sweden. Pray for the people around the world. Pray for those who are in China. The Seventh-day Adventist work is in 203 countries of the world. But it doesn't mean we've reached everyone. We need to share this precious message. We are going down to South Pacific, and our plane leaves tonight. In order for us to arrange our schedule, we would either have to travel on Sabbath to catch the flight going tonight, or we could come and spend the Sabbath in Fallbrook. Or I suppose a few other places, but we took Dan's invitation. We got in yesterday, and as you know, today is a beautiful day. And so was yesterday. So clear. I mean, this is the kind of weather that all Californians like to boast about. But some of us who have lived here know otherwise. But praise God for this beautiful Sabbath. It is a high day, not because I'm here or the pages. It's a high day because this is God's holy Sabbath. What a privilege to be together. And what a privilege it is to have such a friendly church here. I don't know about you, but when I walked in this morning for first service, I had wonderful greetings from Peter and from George. And they just made me feel right at home. I hope everyone who ever walks into the doors of the Fallbrook Church notes that this place is the friendliest place on earth, because you know Jesus. Is it sometimes easier for us to talk about the work of the church, to talk about the activities that take place, to talk about the service, to talk about different aspects of the church than it is to really talk about Jesus? Is it easier sometimes to memorize certain biblical passages, or to understand something about the spirit of prophecy, or to engage in how the church functions within the church board? Is it easier to do some of those things, be involved in Pathfinders or community services or women's ministries or whatever it might be? Is it easier to do that than to actually go up and talk to somebody about Jesus, the whole reason why we exist? Why is it that sometimes we are hesitant to talk about Christ? Seventh-day Adventists, of all people, should be lifting up Christ in our lives, in our actions. You know, Tammy asked a question this morning in Sabbath school about people who don't really accept the Scriptures. How can they be changed? How can they be influenced? Well, it's through each of us. The Lord is placing in each of us the responsibility to lift him up. Our text that was read this morning, and thank you so much for reading in such a powerful way. That I was really, really glad. You know, I was sitting here and wondering, why is there a little stool here? And now I know. praise the Lord that you involve everyone in this church. Everyone. Our scripture that was read focuses on that incredible text of John chapter 12, verse 32. And Jesus himself was speaking, and he was saying, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." And of course, the next verse says he was talking about how he would die. But I want to tell you, when we lift up Jesus, we draw people to him. And he's asking each one of you, each one of us, to be lifted up, to lift him up through our lives, to let people know who Jesus is. Now, if you turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, you will see in verse 21 what Paul was saying. "For to me to live is Christ." For me to live is Christ. Is Christ animating your life? Are you living because of Christ? In the next chapter, Philippians chapter 2, Paul talks about the wonderful name of Jesus because he humbled himself. And you can preach a whole sermon, and I do, on that beautiful chapter, chapter 2 of Philippians. But then you come down to those beautiful verses in 9, 10, and 11. "Therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." That ought to be our lives. Our life work is to proclaim Jesus. My brother-in-law, who happens to actually be sitting in the audience today, Don Vollmer, Don and Melinda were pastoring a church in El Cajon, not too far from here, a number of years ago. Don has just recently retired, and I think he's probably working harder than ever. But Don has a picture in his home. And I've told people about this picture because it is a picture of Christ on the cross. And at the foot of the cross is a man kneeling. And there's an inscription on that picture, and it says something like this, and actually I think it's drawn from Steps to Christ. "The sinner has reached his highest point when he is kneeling at the foot of the cross." Lift up Christ. You see, no matter what kind of work you are in, no matter what kind of activities you engage in, whether you're a young person, an older person, God calls for each of us to lift up Christ. That's what the world is longing to hear, longing to see, lifting up Jesus. In the book Evangelism, page 185, we read this very interesting quotation. "Lift up Jesus, you that teach the people. Lift him up in sermon, in song, in prayer. Let all your powers be directed to pointing souls, confused, bewildered, to the Lamb of God." That is our purpose. That's the purpose that we have of going to the South Pacific Division tonight. Evangelism, page 172. Just one sentence. "We need far less controversy and far more presentation of Christ." In your personal life, in your witness, are you lifting up doctrinal aspects without showing that at the core and at the center of every doctrine is Jesus Christ? Pointing people to Jesus. You see, in Acts chapter 17, verse 28, it says, "For in him we live and move and have our being." Seventh-day Adventist Christians should be the foremost in speaking of the one who is altogether lovely, Jesus, our Creator, our Redeemer, and our coming King. He's the one who died for us. He rose to heaven. He's interceding in the most holy place for us right now, in the heavenly sanctuary. And he's coming to get us soon. The one who loves us with an everlasting love, Jesus Christ, our Lord. How are you sharing Christ in your life? You know, Seventh-day Adventists are accused of being legalists at times. Maybe it's because we focus, you know, on the beautiful worship of God on the seventh-day Sabbath, the fourth commandment. We emphasize the keeping of God's law. We don't keep the law through our own power. It's only as we're connected to Jesus. And as we point people to Christ, they will truly understand what it means to be a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. When I started out as a pastor a few years ago, I still kind of think of myself as a young person, but I'm not. Nancy and I got married, and I had been pastoring for about a year before we got married. And I moved from the little parsonage that was next to this church on the south shore of Long Island in New York. And in order to make a nice place for my new bride, I asked her, do you want to live in a little apartment, which we can live in for an extended period of time, or do you want to live in a rental that we could have for 9 months, and it's down near the shore? It's a beautiful location, but for 3 months we'd have to find another place to live because the people from Brooklyn come out and they live in it for the summer. She said, oh yeah, no, let's live in that little place by the water. And so we moved in. And it was a lovely little place, had fireplace in it, you know. The people who lived there left everything there, and we just were supposed to occupy it for 9 months. Well, we had young people over and had a great time in that particular home. Next door to us was a couple about the same age. And while I was outside, I struck up a conversation with this individual, the husband, and we had a good discussion. I could tell that he had interest in spiritual things. And so I began to think in my mind, this is going to be wonderful. We're living right next to them. We can share everything we know with these people. I had just finished the seminary and also attended Loma Linda University for public health. And of course, when you graduate from graduate school, you think you know everything. I see Pastor Kroenke in the audience. So nice to see you. He was the senior pastor of the Pioneer Memorial Church in Berrien Springs, Michigan, when Dan and some of the rest of us went to Andrews University. Well, you know, when you finish school, you think you know everything. And so these people, recognizing that we were another young couple, they invited us to come to their home for supper. I thought, this is a great opportunity. I am going to really let him know all the truth. So that evening we came over and we had a very nice meal. It was a lovely time. We enjoyed their company. We sat down after the meal in their living room and we began to talk about things, and certainly things drifted towards spiritual things. I was so excited. I began to share because he seemed interested, and I began to share more and more and more, everything from the great controversy and how Lucifer became Satan, all the way down through the Dark Ages, all the way through to the very end and the mark of the beast. And this was a Catholic neighbor. And we got to the entire end. It was probably about 11:30 at night, and I covered the whole thing. They never invited us back. You know, in my earnest, zealous approach to try and share the truth, I had forgotten to really point to Jesus, to help him understand what Jesus was doing in my life, to help him understand that all of these things were connected to Christ, that Christ is the center of every doctrine. Christ. Lifting up Christ. How do we do that in a practical way? by following God's word and lifting up Christ. We must have a single-minded commitment to God in a straightforward understanding of his word. It was the Lord's intent for his chosen people, Israel, to listen to his word. The Lord says in Deuteronomy 5, he says, "Therefore you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess." As long as the children of Israel had an unwavering devotion to the Lord and his word, success came to them. How is it with you today, with your soul? Do you allow the word of God to really sink into your life? Do you spend time every day in the word and reading from the spirit of prophecy? Do you allow the Holy Spirit to take control of you? You see, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, the apostle Paul instructed Timothy to preach the word. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." I want to tell you, if that prediction is correct at any time, it is today. Where people only come to church maybe just to hear what they want to hear, but the Bible is God's authoritative voice. Do you allow the Bible to speak to you, and then in turn allow Christ to speak to others through your example as a Bible-believing Seventh-day Adventist? In our entertainment, we're to lift up Christ. Ever-increasing technological advances are becoming so commonplace in our society now. We have unlimited access to literally the entire world of communication and media. And of course, we have evangelistic potential with this tremendous amount of technological advance. But are we using it for our own benefit or for Christ's benefit to lift up Jesus? We live in the internet age, and we're continually subjected to the most powerful temptations through television and movies and internet, literature. We need to guard the avenues of the soul, as Nancy indicated to our children this morning, to really make Philippians 4:8 something that is truly applicable to our own lives, to think on those things that are noble and just and pure and of good report. Let Bible principles and the counsels of inspiration through the spirit of prophecy guide your life in your entertainment. In our own personal relationships, we must lift up Jesus. And while we should always be friendly and outgoing like this church is, we must be discerning and judicious about those in whom we place our personal confidence. Our closest relationships and our most trusted companionships should be built on the solid foundation of a common faith in God and the truths of his word. You see, Scripture tells us not to be unequally yoked together, and that is also true in the area of personal relationships. Choose godly associates who are going to encourage your walk with Christ. We're to lift up Christ in our behavior. Today, a lot of people encourage and even give encouragement and certain kinds of appreciation to those things which the Lord abhors: promiscuity, homosexuality, violence, vulgarity, overindulgence, greed, and pride. All you have to look is in the newspaper or on television to find out that the world glorifies these things, whereas they ridicule and mock people who seem to be of a simple faith. But I want to tell you, don't let that discourage you. For those who would face the struggles of a godly life in an evil world, the words of Jesus are recorded in John 15, 18, and 19. "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." If you were of the world would love its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Don't be afraid to stand up for Jesus. Don't be afraid to truly stand for the principles that God has outlined for us. In our work, and those of you who might be in school, we must lift up Christ. The Bible repeatedly declares that our God is a God of excellence. As his representatives who were originally made in and restored, will be restored to his image, we should strive for excellence in all our undertakings as a witness for the glory of God. In our pursuit of science, we should lift up Christ. There are physicians here, health personnel, individuals who are experts in science, those who have an interest. And in recent years, great concern has developed about the relationship of science to the Bible. The Lord desires us to consider all aspects of his creation, from biology and geology to psychology and sociology. However, we must always keep in mind that for every truth God has established, Satan conjures up some kind of a counterfeit in an effort to turn people's minds away from the truth and the works of God. Nothing could improve upon what has been written by heavenly inspiration in that little book, The Faith I Live By, page 321. To many, scientific research has become a curse. God has permitted a flood of light to be poured upon the world in discoveries in science and art. But even the greatest minds, if not guided by the Word of God in their research, become bewildered in their attempts to investigate the relations of science and revelation. God is the foundation of everything. All true science is in harmony with his works. All true education leads to obedience to his government. Science opens new wonders to our view. She soars high and explores new depths, but she brings nothing from her research that conflicts with divine revelation, the Word of God. So I want to urge all those who are engaged in scientific and health pursuits to heed the counsel as you seek to explore the wonders of God's creation. We're to lift up Christ in the way we dress. Jesus was a highly respected and deeply loved individual. While having what Isaiah 53:2 describes as no beauty that we should desire him. As in all matters of life, Christ is to be our ultimate example of Christian appearance. Of course, people go to extremes on either end. But listen to this inspired counsel that's very balanced in the way that we should dress in lifting up Christ. This is found in Selected Messages, Book 3. We do not discourage taste or neatness in dress. Correct taste in dress is not to be despised or condemned. And then a little further on, self-denial in dress is a part of our Christian duty. To dress plainly, abstaining from display of jewelry and ornaments of every kind, is in keeping with our faith. The Lord is asking for us to be a powerful witness to this world, to stand for him in simplicity, not acting as a simple person, but in simplicity. And in our stewardship, we're to lift up Christ, faithfully returning the Lord's tithe and free will offerings, being good stewards of our body. And I'm so grateful that the Fallbrook Church has such a powerful outreach in the area of health, to spend an hour or so with a physician and be able to understand God's great plan for us to live in a very careful and wonderful way, practicing the 8 natural remedies. And let's be careful about what we eat and drink, about getting appropriate sunlight and a good, solid vegetarian diet, abstaining from alcohol and tobacco and other illicit drugs. Let's also trust in divine power. Be good stewards of your time. Make sure that you get all the rest you need. I need to remember that very often, especially on these long trips. And let's remember that the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord our God, that Seventh-day Adventists ought to exemplify what it means to rest on the Sabbath day, not doing every little thing that we think we can, but truly keeping the Sabbath day holy according to what God has indicated. In our spiritual revival for which we're calling, we must lift up Jesus to realize that the Lord is calling for us to participate in a revival of true godliness. It is our most urgent need. You know, sometimes you might think, well, the people up there at the General Conference, they just call for some kind of special thing. They don't really know what the world is doing. They live in their own ivory tower. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, we are all in this great Advent movement together. We need to humble ourselves before each other. We need to ask for forgiveness. We need to bring about a spirit of reconciliation to understand that we need to prepare for the falling of the latter rain. The Lord wants to pour it out. We are to be part of this great Advent movement that is lifting up Jesus, bringing confidence back into the Bible and into the spirit of prophecy to help us to understand that Jesus himself is our leader and will continue to be with us until the very end of time. Brothers and sisters here in Fallbrook, young and old, let us go forward in faith, lifting up Jesus, realizing that the Lord has called this church for a unique purpose, and that is to point people to Christ and his three angels' messages of Revelation 14, to tell people to turn back to the true worship of God, to realize that without Christ, we are nothing. Listen to this beautiful quotation from the book Faith and Works. Christ, for our sakes, became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. And any works that man can render to God will be far less than nothingness. How can you have something less than nothing? But that's what our works are if we are not connected to Jesus. My requests, I'm continuing, are made acceptable only because they are laid upon Christ's righteousness. The idea of doing anything to merit the grace of pardon is fallacy from beginning to end. Lord, in my hand no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. We're coming to the time when the Lord wants to do something extraordinary for his people. Is it well with your soul? Are you willing to allow the Lord to do something extraordinary at the Fallbrook Church? Are you willing to pray for people all around the world, to pray at 7 o'clock in the morning, at 7 in the evening, asking for the Holy Spirit in our lives, focusing upon God's word and the instruction that he has provided to each of us? Some of you will remember the story about what happened in the General Conference session of 1901, 110 years ago almost, where there in Battle Creek, Ellen White stood up at that General Conference and said God wanted to do something different. And out of that General Conference came something different. God wanted to reorganize the structure of the church, and that happened. But God had a second plan, and it did not happen. He wanted to pour out the Holy Spirit. Ellen White, in vision 2 years later, saw that God had something very intentional that he wanted to do. In her vision, she saw people at the General Conference at Battle Creek going to each other and asking for forgiveness. She saw someone who, she didn't name who, but someone who was important stand up and go and ask for forgiveness from different people, and started a wonderful reformation that culminated in the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. And then she penned those words, "I awoke, and my pen was still in my hand. And the angel said, this might have been." How long will we wait for this church to allow the Holy Spirit to come into our lives, to change us, to become more and more like Christ, to lift him up, and then to be used in a most powerful way? One of these days, very soon, we're going to look up in the sky we're going to see a small cloud appearing, about half the size of a man's hand. It'll be dark in color, and it will get brighter and brighter and brighter. The entire world will see it, not through satellite television, but through the power of God illuminating this earth. And we'll look up and we'll see millions of angels poured out from heaven, all of them for this climactic day, our salvation. Our Lord is coming to get us. And as this beautiful picture down here depicts that scene, you can just imagine in your mind's eye looking up and seeing all these angels filling the sky, and there in the very center is not the broken, humble lamb, not the ministering high priest, but the one who will have taken off his priestly robes, and he will put on his kingly robes, and he will come back to get you and me. Amen. What a day that will be. I want it to be soon. The Lord tells us we can hasten his coming if we will submit ourselves completely and let him use us to lift up Jesus. Are you willing to do that today? Are you willing to allow revival and reformation to take place in the Fallbrook Church? In your own heart, are you willing to point people to Christ, to his word, and to this great Advent movement that the Lord is calling each of us to be participants in? If you would like to commit yourself anew to that, would you just stand to your feet with me? Amen. Dear Lord, we come to you today realizing that we are in great need of you, that we are frail and human, that we make mistakes, but through your power we can be victorious. We can overcome sin, not through our own initiatives, for we are reminded that they are less than nothingness. But it is as we are connected to Christ, as we lift him up, as we point people to Christ and his soon coming, as we point them to the wonderful, powerful messages in Scripture that help us to become more and more like you, that people will then be changed because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, I ask your blessing upon the Fallbrook Church. Bless in its outreach. Bless Pastor Nunez. Bless each of the leaders of this church, each young person and older person. May we all realize that we are at your disposal, that we are here standing in commitment to you, asking that you will use us to accomplish that great and marvelous proclamation of the three angels' messages that is to go throughout the world with power from on high. Come close to us now, and Lord, save us in your kingdom through the merits and the grace and the blood of our Lord and Savior, our coming King, and our best friend, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Please remain standing as we sing our final hymn.